It's just gone 4:05. It's Ricky Gervais show. That's Steve just doing the microphone, putting his headphones on.
Sorry, Rick, I'm not. Sorry, yeah. I just didn't give me much time to prepare myself. So
no,
hang on.
A week.
Yeah.
It was actually a week.
I think that's working. My headphones are not quite working.
Hang no.
On. It's going alright though.
Well, not only we haven't not prepared for the show. Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe people could phone in and give us some subjects to talk about. 0171 580 2000.
Yeah.
Or they can fax in 0171 580 1234, and they could get like a discussion going, like, what do you think of that Tour de France nonsense? And we could sort of, no, not that. What do you think about, well, you know, it's their idea, isn't it?
0171 580 2000. Quickly, I mean, really, seriously, just get on the phone now.
This is my record of the week.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Yeah, what is it? Exciting?
Yeah, Foo Fighters.
Right, yeah.
Walking after you.
I'm looking forward to it. It's quite interesting. I think it's quite interesting, Rick, because, you know, it's a very sensitive song, very beautiful song, and I think it betrays something about you, about the inner Ricky.
Yeah.
Which I don't think, we've ever sort of really tapped into before.
No, but I mean, I've got something exciting for you as well.
Really?
Because maybe you, you know, you can find love too, because Petru sent in, a piece of paper here from, see there, from Mix Mag.
Yeah.
But it's the, personal ads. Oh, no, it's not. It's an ad. It's Select. That's an advert.
Whatever, Rick. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Realism, it makes all the difference.
No, move
so
on.
I don't think I'm just making it up.
Come on.
Right. Lonely, depressed, bi girl needs someone of any age to understand. Right? Any age.
Right, yeah.
Well, that fits, you know, you're any age.
Certainly.
Yeah. Ugly freaks preferred.
Yeah.
Right? Anyone accepted.
Well, I'm in there.
Well,
no,
don't count your chickens.
Me?
Don't count your chickens. Confidentiality and honesty assured.
Yeah, that's fine.
Reply guaranteed.
Give it to me now.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
No,
she
no,
said,
give it to me now.
I know what she said. I know why you're thinking. It's just any age, which you fall into nicely.
Yep.
Ugly freaks preferred, so you're at top of the list, and anyone accepted. See, I don't think she realises quite what you look like, because you're not in her framework. Do you know what I mean? So I still think you might be disappointed.
No, no. Gervais, this will work. This will work. Let me see this. Only depressed bi girl. What does that mean though? Bi girl. What is that?
Bisexual.
Bisexual?
Yeah. Again, I think she means
bisexual.
Sexuality of any human. Do you know what I mean?
Well, all I'm saying, bisexual, Gervais. Do you know what I mean? Am I right?
What? No, what do you mean?
Hey, three. Yeah, hey, three people.
What?
Three in a bed.
You, a bisexual, and an amphibian.
Three in a bed, Rick. Hey. Hey.
But you won't be one of them.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No. Nearly 4:25. Ricky Gervais show. I'm Ricky Gervais.
Gervais, I know we haven't got much in the show today, we've not really thought of anything to talk about. Why did you just give a time check then?
Just to fill it up.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
But like, why? Do you know what I mean? Because the music-
It's sunny out as
the
well,
music
isn't it?
Was playing, right? And you mentioned it's 4:25, we'd never do time checks. How is that useful? Why are you expecting someone's looking at it, they're gonna think, 4:25, Christ, well, I should be at my mum's house.
They haven't played any good records, I can't let it interesting, but thank God he told me what else, I've got to take that bun out of the oven.
Well, exactly.
You never know.
But you don't want to tell
them. Or they probably just realised something good starting telly.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Don't say it's 4:25, because who knows? I don't know. Maybe the Antiques Roadshow.
No, BBC always start things at 4:25, don't they?
Yeah.
And 5:02.
Well, you're a fool. That's what I'm saying. There's no reason for
why
time
do they do that? Why do they do that? And not on the hour like ITV. You know where you are with ITV. BBC, 10 past, 4:15. 0171 580 2000.
Yeah.
Why the BBC? I'm struggling.
You are indeed.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, quickly go to an ad break, which is good.
Yeah.
That keeps people pretty fixed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they'll be desperate.
Yeah.
They'll be listening to the
But I'll do a little trial, watch this. But after that, if you can hold out for 40 seconds, we've got the new one from the Manic Street Preachers. You've got to be happy with that.
I'm loving it. Gervais, before we do it.
Go on.
I watched Team Knight Rider yesterday.
You didn't.
You've seen it. It's a new sort of thing, must be made 10 years later. And it's instead of just the one Knight Rider car, it's a team of them. A fleet of them, Gervais.
Team, I think it's a teen.
No, teen Knight Rider.
Yeah, when he was little, he had spots and he was a little bit embarrassed.
On like a little, little scooter.
Yeah, and you go up to girls and go, hello. Do you want to, do you want to, oh. Yeah. Team yeah. Night Rider.
Team Night Rider would be beautiful.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
That'd be great.
And Kit goes, what are you doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
I was just, I got in the court in the flies.
He's like, Kit's there, sort of explaining how to shave.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be beautiful.
You dirty little, now that is really gummed up my CD player now. Oh, we'll stop it there, surely. Oh,
Team Knight Rider.
Team Knight Rider.
I tell you, if we get on to talking about telly programmes, Gervais, we'll be here all night.
Yeah.
Won't we?
Yeah, well, it's about 4:25 now.
That's brilliant. They're yeah. disappointed. But listen, Gervais, you know I've always said that, you know when a party's going bad.
Yeah.
When you end up in the kitchen, talking about old kids' TV shows.
And singing the theme tunes.
Exactly.
And you remember Swizzlers. Oh yeah, yeah. And flying saucers, yes, we remember
and
flying
Batwing jumpers. And everyone starts laughing.
Batwing jumpers.
Do you not remember Batwing jumpers?
She's retired now.
Thanks. Oh, grot bags. Eh?
Grot bags? What was that?
That was the emu. Pink windmill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talk about gay subtext. Pink windmill.
So I take it with the fact that we're talking about it. We are in the kitchen
exactly.
at a bad party.
We're in the kitchen
we've
at a bad
nothing,
party.
We've got nothing, have we?
We've got nothing to talk about.
You know, usually we say, oh, we've got nothing, we've got a couple of things and we get out. We've really got nothing,
absolutely
have we?
Nothing.
What about that Team Knight Rider? We were going somewhere.
Oh,
there must
Team Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
What was it? Michael, it's time for school. Oh, come on, I've got bellyache. Well, you're well enough to do that. I have to do that. I have to get rid of my poison.
But team. I wasn't talking about team.
No, sorry, team. Not right. You're actually going to tell an anecdote there?
Well, no, not really. All I was going to say was that it was greatest thing because there was Team Knight Rider, which is the sort of 10 years later. There's a team of people with super electronic cars driving around solving crimes.
Yeah.
And then it flipped over, and there was Buck Rogers in the 25th century, featuring Gil Gerard. Do you remember him? Good looking fella.
Yeah.
And Twinkie, all of it, biddy biddy biddy. And
sorry. are you on crack?
No.
No, so have you taken sort of like some real sort of heavy mixture of cocaine
Why,
and listened to it? What's that? And obviously a good looking fella, biddy biddy, and a meh.
No, that's Twinkie.
And then I turned, what are you talking about?
Of Twinkie, the little robot.
The little silver robot
that went biddy biddy biddy. It's as simple as that. I'm not trying to corrupt you. I'm not trying to get, you know, confusion.
Oh, go on, yeah, okay, fair enough. I'll take
all I'm saying is, great TV shows there that we forget, you know. We're in the kitchen, Gervais.
Yeah,
we're in the kitchen.
But everyone else has left. It's just us two.
It's just you
we
and
could
I.
go home.
We could go home, but yeah. We're still enjoying it.
Yeah.
In the kitchen there.
Yeah.
But what I was going to talk about is, you know, there's a lot of TV shows. There's a lot of TV shows, Gervais, that we know and love and we remember.
Yeah.
But a lot of films, right, that became TV shows, MASH, obviously the big success.
Yeah.
Do you know, Gervais, I read about this yesterday, fantastic. Do you know that they made a TV show, right, in the 1982 of Casablanca, right, featuring David Soul.
As what, Rick?
As Rick. What a fantastic TV show.
That is fantastic.
It'd be Casablanca and you'd have a picture of him, wouldn't you? And every week they'd find a different reason for him to say, play it again, Sam.
And lovely Patty Coombs.
As Liza,
that was fantastic.
Mr. Rick, I'm not playing backgammon for money. Play it again, Sam. It'd be great. Every week, whatever it be. I don't know what their different contrivances. It's like a catchphrase.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Great, wouldn't it?
Bobby Crush as the bloke on the piano.
You must remember this.
Oh, fantastic.
Every week he gets an excuse to play it.
Well, once I was looking through, right, and there was that TV show called You Must Be the Husband, right?
What?
Yeah, it was called You Must Be the Husband, and I'd never seen it before, and me and Joe were watching it, it was just flicked over, we saw the last, that we were gonna watch something else, and it just ended with the waiter coming up to one of them and going, you must be the husband, and we thought, do they have to remember that every single week?
Dearie me, that's like a hard work. I tell you,
yeah.
Putting catchphrases
yeah.
in TV shows, hard work.
David Soul. Oh, that is fantastic.
Dave Hutch.
Who played Victor Laszlo?
I don't know anything else about it. If anyone's ever seen it, please give me a call. What a fantastic show that would be.
Oh, I know who played Victor Laszlo. What's his name? Rodney. What's his name? Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Nicholas Lyndhurst.
He'd be great, wouldn't he? Nick Berry.
That'd be beautiful.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what it would be. It would be, they'd be on a golf course, and Sam would, like, miss a stroke, wouldn't he? And they'd just go, oh, play it again, Sam. And everyone else would laugh. It'd be beautiful.
Oh, baby bird, if you'll be mine. We can keep this cup forever now.
Yeah.
We're in the kitchen.
Yep.
Should we make a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Apparently, Steve, who says this? He doesn't say, play it again, Sam.
No, I know he doesn't.
He says, go on, play it, Sam.
I know that, you stupid toss. Oh, for goodness sake. I studied film for 3 years, for Christ's sake, Gervais. Of course I know that, but it's the TV show. They're bound to have made the same mistake, aren't they? Of course that.
You can do an academic subject, then.
Of course. Oh, I can't. Well, I'm sickened. I'm sickened. Because everybody knows that, Gervais, and yet he's come out and he's spouted rubbish. Oh, I'm just, oh.
He thinks it's a good show.
Oh. God, I'm disappointed. Oh, I'm so angry.
He likes the show.
I'm so angry because everybody thinks I'm an imbecile.
Well, yeah.
Well, fair enough. No, because I was going to mention a couple, because I came up with a couple of my own TV shows.
Go on, yes, I've got a few.
Have you come up with your own?
Yeah.
Have you talked about this in the past?
Well, You know, like the, when they have a cliche in the title and that's the
That's the best one we came up with.
Like a touch of frost and it's his name.
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
But my favourite, this is one I came up with, right? It was called Lady of the Night. Right? But that's knight spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, right?
Yeah.
And what is clever about it is, or that, what it is there's a knight, right, a knight of the realm, okay, but it's set about sort of 1870 or something, sort of Sherlock Holmes era, that sort of thing, and he's a knight of the realm, you know, Sir Johnson or whatever, and he's a knight, whatever, but he doubles up as a private investigator, right?
Yeah.
And he's got, working for him, a prostitute,
yeah,
right, who's also a private investigator.
Yeah.
And it's called Lady of the Night, you see, and it's double meaning because she's a lady of the night,
and
she's a lady of the
night.
It's a knight.
It's fantastic.
Brilliant. And they go around, but seriously, they go around investigating like crimes, sort of Whitechapel and stuff, and it's brilliant because you know, obviously she's a prostitute, whatever, and he's a knight, and there's a bit of sexual tension, Gervais, obviously, and
yeah,
obviously you've got all the Victorian elements and everything, and obviously they can't associate with one another openly in the streets because that would be, you know, he's obviously got to maintain a certain reputation.
Yeah.
So it's Lady of the Night, and there's the intrigue and tension. What do you think about
it? You thought this through.
I thought that through.
That is fantastic, using all your technical knowledge,
yeah,
and your film study and your...
Yeah.
I came up with one.
Go on.
Starring naughty Samantha Janus as a nun with Diana Rigg as a Mother Superior, and it's called None the Wiser.
That's beautiful.
And they're naughty. And
that's
the,
great.
And the None sequel, the she gets pregnant and she has to go and work in the kitchen, right? And that's called Nun in the Oven.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Oh, that's beautiful, Gervais.
Remember Ray Cooney, that thing in the 80s when all those... had those farces on, and basically what he did was substitute the word life for wife. He had run for your wife, right?
Yeah.
And wife begins at 40.
Beautiful. Doesn't make any sense, does it, grammatically?
No. I just thought of one, like, I said to Claire a few weeks ago that it would be like a stage play and there'd be loads of people jumping in and out, like, of hospital beds. But in one of the beds, one of the wives, she just wanted to die. Because they had no quality. And it's, whose wife is it anyway? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Rick.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That'd be
I
lovely.
Love that. Touch of Frost. It's so clever.
And the other one is, loads of lawyers with their wives jumping in and out of bed with just underpants on taking drugs. And it's this wife.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a nice touch.
So, let's have, some compositions then.
But you know, I've got a whole game show as well, which I could mention.
Go on.
Do you want me to mention it?
Well, should we, play, Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
Their classic song.
Can I
Don't
just say,
Fear the Reaper.
I've got a game show, right, that I came up with.
Yeah.
Okay. And it features me, but I think it could be perhaps a vehicle for yourself, Gervais.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna tell you, like, it's called Ricky Gervais Meat Rations.
Right.
And,
I like it already.
You like it already?
Because there's a part in there for me.
Yeah.
Could I play, the Ricky Gervais?
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic.
It was originally called, basically, let me just summarise very briefly. I'm not going to tell you all the games, but it's basically recreating the heady days of the war.
Right.
Right.
That's fantastic.
It's beautiful already, isn't it? It's got the nostalgia thing.
I've got a game as well.
But it was originally going to be called Ricky Gervais Fag Rations.
Right.
But apparently cigarettes weren't rationed in the war. So
weren't
it's
they?
Called Meat Rations now.
Excellent.
And I'll tell you some great games. My favourite is, what's it called? To Be Perfectly Anne Frank. It's a great game. It really is. It's a great game where you've got to pretend to be Anne Frank and hide from sort of snooping Nazis.
Oh, that is fantastic.
It's a great game. And there's also, of course, well, let me go into it. There's also Dig for Granny.
Good.
Well, I'll Dig for Victory, if you like. And what happens, you're scavenging through rubble, right?
Can I just say, these are copyright. Anyone trying to rip me off, I mean, I've got the Penis Puppet Theatre.
Yeah.
I've got a stake in this, surely, haven't
I? Oh, certainly. Ricky Gervais Meat Rations.
You can have a bit of my Penis Puppet Theatre.
That's lovely.
Yeah? And I've also got a new game that I'll talk about after yours. It's called Tip the Balance. And it's sort of like a game for four. And I'll send it off to Waddington, see what you think. I mean, there's teething problems with
okay.
it.
Well, listen, Gervais, look,
let's play Don't Fear the Reaper.
Let's play that tune.
By Blue Oyster and his cult.
It's a classic.
Yeah, and then we come back and we try and make some money.
Let's make some cash.
Well, you've got to be happy with that. Blue Oyster cult, Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah? So go on then. So what other games are in this, Ricky Gervais's meat rations?
Well, it starts off, there's the sound of an air raid siren.
Ooh. Yeah, I like it already.
And we came up with, start queuing up, mum, for Ricky Gervais, meat rations.
Excellent. Do I look like sort of Walker out of Dad's Army?
Yes.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Now you come in.
Yeah.
And, what it is, the set, right, is kind of like half of it is an old sort of East End pub, and the rest is kind of rubble and debris. And a skyline of ruined, you know, Britain. And what it is, you come in, you're fairly sort of sharp and dapper. And, of course, Chaz and Dave provide the music throughout the show.
And you know the Dolly Bird that usually comes on? She's a woman with, like, curlers with a little, scarf on it.
That's right.
She comes out with on those little floral aprons.
You've got it.
Oh, fantastic.
And there's a game show, there's a bit in the show called Roll Out the Barrel.
Yeah.
Don't know what happens in that.
Yeah. Roll Out the Barrel. We could think of something.
There's a barrel of fun, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there's, and this is a dig for victory where you've got like a big pile of rubble, right? And you're digging through it, scavenging for food, canned food. But if you find like relatives or friends, you score extra points.
Oh, that is fantastic. And there must be some sort of fun with like gas masks.
Yeah.
When you can all put them on and dress up as like, I don't know, one of the banana splits.
Yeah.
That's
what could that be, gas?
Who's Snork?
Well, possibly.
So every week there's the real Snork.
Right.
So it's like, confessors come on, which one's Snork?
Which one's Snork?
Yeah.
So you've got three celebrities.
Yeah, who's a gas mask and the real Snork.
That's
So you've got someone like Ted Malt's son, he pops one on, you've got Frank Bruno, and Jilly Cooper.
That's
and they put their mask on and like a little outfit, and then the real Snork is there, and you've got to ask some questions. Like, you get like Bernie Winters and, Henry Cooper going, number three, how long have you been in the banana split? And Jilly Cooper goes, oh, about 6 years. He goes, oh, I don't know, I think the banana split's been going longer than that. No, I don't think it's number three. What do you think? And, Brenny Winters goes, number one, how did you get the job being in banana splits? And it's probably Ted Malt's son going, oh, I answered an advert in the paper. That's not right. They were born. You know what I mean?
And there's Chaz and Dave in the corner just going, na 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 na, yeah!
Yeah, with the real Snorks, and they always, the lights go, right, and that one stands up and he sits back down again, and then the real Snork, and the others all take their masks
off.
And they go, it's lovely, what are you doing now? Well, I'm appearing, Puss in Boots down in, Brighton. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
What, Jilly Cooper?
I don't know, what does she do? Oh, she's a novelist.
She's a novelist.
Oh, yeah!
Now appearing in Panto. I'm not letting you book the guest.
Oh, God.
But wait a minute. I mean, I love your idea.
Yeah.
Who Snork.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? How we started off with a kind of wartime nostalgia show. But now we've sort of featured sort of quite bad 70s animal
Nothing
things.
Wrong with the, banana splits.
But I like that. That's a good game.
Yeah, okay. That can be like a special feature.
So I'm just going to make a note of it because we've got Dig for Victory, to be perfectly Anne Frank.
Yeah, and Who's Snork.
Who's Snork.
Yeah. Well, I'm full of ideas. I could probably help you on this.
Oh, this is great. Well, what other? Yeah. Maybe we'll come up with some other ideas as we go.
Yeah, we've still got Tip the Balance to go.
But you know, can I just say, I did actually once try and pitch this. When I appeared on Blockbusters?
Yeah.
Well, I obviously met with a producer there, and I said, I've got an idea for you.
Have we talked about this on air?
We talked about me on Blockbusters.
Have we?
But not about, my pitching this
thing. No, go on.
And, I said to her, sit down, I said, I've got a great idea. And I tried to bid it with me as the star. She said, who are you? Steve's meat rations. She said, why are you in it? I said, oh, I am. Don't worry, I'm the only one who can put it off.
Yeah.
And, she said, right, go on, what is it? And at that time, I had none of the games. All I had was the title. And she went, I like it, yeah, what are the games? Don't know. She said,
oh, if you'd have just said, well, stop me there, love, and just popped a gas mask on and said, who am I?
She'd have gone, Snork.
No, it's not. Oh, we got an ad break, then we got a classic from Blur. It's 5 o'clock. So, if you were going to watch that thing that started at 5:02, you missed the first 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
So we're doing well with this, new game show, aren't we?
Yeah, we've got a few ideas
there. Ricky Gervais' meat rations.
I
love that.
It's a great idea, isn't it? We came up with another quick game, because obviously, so far we've got Dig for Victory.
Yeah.
To be perfectly Anne Frank. And, Who's Snoring? Which is possibly, I think, the most popular game so far.
Yeah.
And also, we've come up with a new one, haven't we? Puss in Jack Boots.
Yeah. You get a beauty of the age.
Say,
to come out.
Saucy Samantha Janus?
Yeah. Maybe she comes out and she's got a little moustache on. Right, and a peak cap pulled low, and, Nazi regalia. And you go, and you got Bernie Winters and, Ted Malt's son, and, Jilly Cooper going, So, you're obviously, by the warm, warm applause, you're much loved.
Yes, I am!
Oh, thank God, show business, and the audience clap.
Obviously, yeah.
Well, that, yeah, I guess, yeah. I don't know, you're doing the Nazi accent very well. Are you an actress?
Yes, that is correct!
Yeah,
it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Could you salute in, please?
Yeah.
Very nice, just do a little Nazi salute.
Yeah, little click, that'd be lovely.
I thought of a little quick
one. And what's that one? That's called Puss in Jack Boots.
Puss in Jack Boots.
Yeah, lovely.
I thought of a quick one, it's called, Get the Hell Out of Hiroshima. Right, it's against the clock. Anyway, there's a, that's there as well. And, we got any other ideas, Gervais?
The Cure, love song.
Gervais, it's time for the game show everyone's talking about, Make Gervais Laugh.
Yeah.
We've had an entry here this week, alright, and what it is, let me explain the rules. Somebody sent in a picture, Gervais, right, I'm gonna show it to you now, and if you laugh, then hopefully this young fellow wins a prize. It's from Neil in, let me see, Highgate.
Oh, no, I'm laughing already, though.
Are you?
Yeah, because
I'm
the anticipation. All right, okay.
Straighten yourself out. Now, you've not seen this picture.
Oh, it's been so disappointing if it's not funny. There's nothing worse than that, you know what I mean?
I know.
Okay.
Well, I think you'll laugh.
You run the risk. You run the risk.
Well, that's the nature of the game show.
Okay.
All right.
And what's in it for everyone else who can't see the picture or cares?
Nothing.
Right? Nothing. Yeah, that's good.
But then, you know, what
we're not here for their... Exactly. Are we?
All right, you know, we're busy men, we got things to do. We got to entertain ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But all I'd say is, what is there in this show anyway for anybody else?
Good point.
At least we get a laugh.
Yeah, okay.
Now, really? What would you say, the other thing, though, is there a prize for Neil?
Yeah, if I laugh,
what can you give him?
Will you give him sort of like a chuckle-o-meter? You know, the Ricky Gervais's chuckle-o-meter.
The chuckle-o-meter?
Yeah, this is up to 10 CDs.
Right, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
All right then. Well, okay. Because that first one we did ages ago, that was up there, number 10, wasn't it?
Yeah,
eight, nine, ten.
Yeah.
Right. Here comes the picture. I think it looks to me like it's an internet picture.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here comes the picture now, Gervais.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh, has he done that? No.
Now listen. What I'll do? Let's play a record, Gervais, and I will.
Don't explain it.
We can explain
it.
No, we can explain it.
No, don't, please. Right, no. when I was, about 16, my nephew got, mumps. And all the men in my family were really worried, right? And, I soon found out why. You know, obviously, if you get mumps when you're an adult, and you haven't had it before, you go sterile, or it can cause sterility.
Really?
Yeah. Blimey. Yeah. And, I was about 16, and, this worried me, and I went to my mum and I said, have I had mumps? She went, you've had one mump. Now, I don't know what mumps are or is, but I'm pretty sure you can't have a mump. Or, I think she meant that one side of my face swelled up, like a gobstopper, it was. But what is a mump, or what are the mumps? I mean, it's a viral infection, isn't it? I don't want to embarrass myself, I don't want her to be right, like
I don't
a doctor
person, yeah, like, no. A number of mumps or one big, one big mump.
What if you had one big
like
mump?
A, like a hunchback for a while, you're just like, you're mump-backed for a while, yeah. And just walk around.
You're mump-backed.
Yeah, and you don't remember, because it's always when you're very young.
You're mump-backed, but yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But I had, apparently I had one mump. So I could probably one of them, just one of them went a bit sterile.
Can you, so you, you can become sterile
yeah.
if you have the mumps when you're an adult.
Apparently, yeah.
Can you, I mean, does that, for instance, does that, it doesn't cause, say for instance an adult had mumps, right,
yeah.
And then he sort of had sex and he gave birth to a child, his wife gave birth to a child.
Yeah.
That can't cause any other problems, it can't cause deformity or anything. It's just, no, because it's just my dad had the mumps.
I don't know, I don't know. We should get our facts right, really. If there's a doctor out there, I mean, can mumps cause sterility? How does it do it? I have stories about, my teacher, his mate, had to have them, they swelled up, and he had to put them in cotton wool for about a month.
God almighty.
Because it can, you know, mumps aren't fun.
No, I'm not saying it. I mean, well, I can say, maybe you've had mumps and now you're sterile.
That could be mumps aren't fun.
Yeah.
That's like go to work on an egg, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who said that? I was having an argument with someone about who said, go to work on an egg. Someone said it was that William G. Stewart bloke who...
No, it was
Faye Weldon.
No, it wasn't. It was Salman Rushdie. It was.
No, it wasn't.
No, hang on. No, maybe it wasn't.
It was Faye Weldon.
It wasn't Faye Weldon.
Right.
It was either, right, let me tell you what it was.
Okay.
It was either that bloke that wrote, A Year in Provence, or whatever it was called.
Right. 0171-580-2000. Who came up with the slogan, go to work on an egg?
It was either the Year in Provence fella.
Is that?
I mean, what his name was, I don't know.
0171-580-2000. Who was the Year in Provence
fella? You know that fella who wrote that book, Year in Provence? Everyone read it. Everyone thought it was great.
No,
his name's Peter or something, rather.
Right, okay.
Right, and I think he definitely wrote that.
Someone must have come up with something.
I think it was the year. See, I'm thinking that maybe it was the egg thing. But I would say as well that that fella that wrote Year in Provence, he also came up with the, you know, the Fat Willy cartoon series. What a hilarious series of books they are.
Not Fat Willy, is it?
It was called Fat Willy, wasn't it?
What's the one, Where's Willy?
Where's Wally?
Where's Wally?
Where's Willy? That'd be pretty straightforward every time, wouldn't it?
Well,
there's a fella there.
No,
it is.
Not where you come from, it wouldn't.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Well, Peter Mayle is the name of the bloke who wrote, Year in Provence. Thanks to, Neil. And also, Neil says that Salman Rushdie did Naughty But Nice for the cake commercial. Now, I still don't know who did, Go to Work on an Egg. I think it was Faye Weldon.
No, it was Peter Mayle.
Do you reckon it was?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm gutted.
Yeah.
And you very rarely, Jerry from Balham, you very rarely go work sterile for mumps, but it is a viral, infection, yeah.
It's such an informative show.
This programme, exactly, Steve.
Yeah. It's like a public service.
It really is, isn't it?
Mm.
And we treat things sort of sensibly and maturely, and we give out, you know, the correct information.
I'll be honest with you.
It's safe for kids to listen to, isn't it?
Well, imagine if you were in the, I mean, this happens to us all the time, you know, you're in the pub and someone will say, well, you know, is mumps a problem, is it going to cause infertility? And you're there just saying,
Well, I was listening to Ricky Gervais.
And?
It's very rare. It is a viral infection.
Exactly.
And do you know who did, Go to Work on an Egg? They went, no. Peter Mayle or, Faye Weldon, we're not sure.
Possibly Salman Rushdie.
No, definitely wasn't Salman Rushdie.
That's quite incredible, though, to go from writing Naughty But Nice about cakes
to having to live in a hole for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I used to write when I was at school.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't watch sort of kids' programmes when I was growing up. I watched sort of crap adult ones. You know, I mean, ITV on the telly from, 12 midday through to, like, midnight. And I'd watch all the police series, Police Story, Charlie's Angels, Steve Austin.
And Teen Knight Rider.
Teen Knight Rider, yeah. And, I wrote this essay at school once, and I just couldn't stop. And I started serialising it. And every time, I just kept writing, I was sort of like, you know, people were reading it at school. And it was about a cop, a New York cop, who was as hard as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I worked out what his name was. Now, God, this is how television influences me. Because it was one word name, which is his surname. That was the title of the, book, title of the series, and that's what all his friends called him. It was called Jezuk.
Jezuk?
Yeah.
Jezuk.
Yeah, I thought it had a Z and a K and a J. Jezuk.
Jezuk.
Yeah.
It does sound so close to, like, Pillock or Jesse.
Yeah.
Or Nonce.
No, Nonce. There's no Nonce.
Well, do you know what I mean?
The cross between sort of
Jezuk.
Like Jezuk. Pillock and Jism.
Damn you, Jezuk!
Yeah.
You're off the case.
Give me the badge. Keep the stinking badge. I don't need a badge to be a cop. It was all stuff like that. And he first, and so he'd look at his gun and go, this is my law.
I mean, my God, it's Jezuk. How did he find us?
Jezuk. Yeah, it was great. There'd be shootouts and everything. Oh, fantastic.
Let me just ask, did he have perhaps have a broken marriage? He was hard-boiled. He played by his own rules.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Simultaneous with this.
He was a bit of a drunkard as well, had a bit of drink.
No, he didn't drink,
oh,
no.
Good.
He was a good-looking fella.
But he was letting himself go, he was a bit hard-bitten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was sort of simultaneous, which was more of a novel. I wasn't a serious, I was actually writing a novel, and I got like three exercise books, right? It was about this kid, right?
God.
Right? He saw his, parents just brutally murdered for no reason by a gang of outlaws, yeah? And he buried his father, and he knelt down on the grave, and he said, looked up, and he goes, as God is my witness, I will avenge thee. And then he sort of went to the the store, and he got loads of bullets, and he practiced, and he was the fastest gun. He was only about 16.
Yeah.
His name was Jody Barnes.
Jody Barnes is all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Have you still got any of those exercise books?
I hope not.
That would be
incredible. Teachers used to sort of like, I imagine going, yeah, it's good. I imagine I'm passing around the, he's done another one. Gervais has written another episode of Jezuk. Yeah.
But I say, seriously, if you brought one of those in and read it out, that'd be I'd be entranced.
Imagine it.
Seriously, that'd be great. Can you, do you think
the ramblings of a twisted 14-year-old brain that only ever watched ITV cop shows.
Do you think your mum might still have some copies of, Jezuk?
No.
Was it like sort of, the initial one was like Jezuk, then it was like Jezuk abroad, Jezuk in Paris, Jezuk on safari.
Yeah.
Here comes Jezuk.
My mum.
Return of Jezuk.
I liked that Jezuk. He's a proper man.
Yeah.
He's not like you. But Mum, I invented Jezuk. You're a Nazi. You couldn't be like Jezuk. He's in my mind.
Return of Jezuk. Here comes Jezuk. Son of Jezuk.
Oh, it's fantastic. What if Jezuk met Jodie Barnes? They'd get on. They'd have no quarrels.
They could team up.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. After break, a little bit of Lars.
Team Jezuk. Still here, then. Gervais, you've embarrassed yourself.
Mm. Oh, just shut your ugly gob, you bug-eyed, anemic, fish-faced tosser.
Nice to have you back.
4:05 on a Sunday, Ricky Gervais, XFM 104.9, London's, only alternative. Steve.
Yeah.
You know, we gave away those CDs. Hey, we great giveaways. Just good radio, isn't it? We've got CDs to give away. Tickets and that. It's good radio.
Mm.
Do you remember who won them?
What, last week?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Right. I've got to get them back.
What, are these the CDs that we took from the library?
Yeah. Anyway? I've got to get them back. 0171-580-2000. If you won those CDs, could you give us a call?
Well, why should they bother? They're probably busy listening to them. Do you know what I mean? You can't give something away and then take it back.
Yeah, I need big time. I've got to get them back.
We've had a bill for the computer as well.
That's mine.
No, it's not yours.
It's mine.
It's not yours.
I procured that. That is mine now.
No,
that technically counts as ownership.
Listen, Gervais, it's not yours, all right? I've told you this before. I've explained this to you 100 times.
What?
All right. If you urinate on something,
yeah,
it is not yours.
It does. That's what cats do. That is what cats do. They go around the territory that's theirs. They urinate on it. That computer's mine.
If a cat urinates on something, right? Yeah. In its cat philosophy, it owns that. I agree. That's a sort of what do you call it? A sort of territory thing.
What's the difference?
You're not a cat.
No, I know.
You're not a cat.
That's discrimination.
No, you're not a cat. You can't live life by cat rules.
Well, I've got loads of stuff like that. My flat's full of stuff that I've got like that.
What?
Yeah, I've got, two telephone boxes.
Right.
I've got a cash point machine.
Yeah.
Glyn was furious. He was getting out money.
Right.
In the film. Side of a church.
That's yours.
Yeah. Two BMWs. Well, I had two. I've got one now.
What happened?
The second one, the owner caught me and he started doing the same. And because I started first, I finished first, so he finished last, so it was technically his again.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
If I piss on something, then that's mine.
Yeah.
But if someone else pisses on it, then that's theirs.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Could you say urinate? This is XFM 104.9. They are mine now.
They're not yours.
They are
mine. They're my shoes, Jimmy.
Yeah, and they're mine now.
No, they're not. I can't believe. This is why I don't want to do this anymore.
Why?
I can't believe you.
They're my shoes now. That is ownership. That counts.
In the cat world.
They're my shoes now. And some of the carpet is mine as well.
In the cat world.
Yeah. Wow.
You cannot live your life by the rules of the cat world.
I can.
What does your girlfriend
Watch this.
Oh.
Not many people can do that. XFM 4.9 quarter past.
How do these sort of little theories of yours develop?
What? They come in my head. Then they're all right. Then I like them, and they happen.
Right.
Then they're mine. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do other people make of the
fact they go along with it?
What, your girlfriend?
Yeah, and all my special friends and the friends that I make.
Does she mind that your flat looks like an East End lockup and stinks of urine?
No,
she don't have a problem with that.
No, the sinuses are gone now, completely gone.
Her sinuses are gone.
Yeah.
The Charlie.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought as much. Well, I know what you rock and rollers get up to, Gervais, in your spare time.
Oh dear.
It's beautiful to see you again though, because we thought you would,
I'm looking good.
We thought you'd be gone forever.
Why?
But you're back.
Yeah.
Beautiful to see you.
Yeah, I'll be around for
anything planned.
I didn't expect, it's not my life. I didn't expect to be here this long, so anything is a bonus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Any plans for today's show?
Got some more records than that, and some absolute drivel.
Right.
Yeah, packed into 2 hours.
So no difference.
No. No. Hey. No.
Great, well, it's going well. I've got a little competition.
Yeah.
Which I'll maybe introduce after the
Is there anyone mad enough to sleep with me competition? Because is there? I'm not doing that one again.
All right, I've got a different one.
Yeah.
I've got a different competition.
Keep calling the Samaritans, please. We don't do that sort of thing, sir. Please. Or else. Can't threaten the Samaritans.
Why do you like that song so much?
Because, because they're singing about you being an ugly tosser, all right? Just gone 20 past four.
Gervais, I hate to kick people when they're down.
No, you don't. You like it. And you like people twitching when they've been badly hurt.
But I don't know how this came about, but I started to consider the songs of Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine. I don't know why, someone was playing one in my house, and we were flipping through the record, the lyric sheets.
Fruit bat.
Now, I don't know, when I was in the sixth form, Gervais, everybody had a Carter USM t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I imagine you probably
saw that. By the end of the 80s, early 90s, all events officers, A&R men, yeah.
What were you doing about that time? That was when you were claiming benefit while still working.
Yeah, yeah.
You had the wheelchair and everything.
Yeah, the tartan blanket.
Nice.
Fantastic.
See, everybody had a Carter USM t-shirt. I didn't have one, because I didn't, do you know what I mean? That wasn't me. It was all a bit cliquey, and they didn't like me for it.
Yeah, it wasn't because of that though, was it? It was because they sort of had like symmetrical heads. They were running in their human packs, weren't they? Ostracizing you, going, oh dear.
Don't start. Yeah. Right. I'm just looking through the lyric sheet. This is from the album 1992, the Love album, right, by Carter.
Yeah.
Now just give you a taste of some of the lyrics.
Yeah, go on.
Which we thought were so profound in 1990 or whatever.
I never did.
This is from the track Look Mum, No Hands. I should point out that many of the titles of their songs are appalling. There's obviously my favourite, possibly the worst, is The Road to Domestos.
That's the worst name of a song I've ever heard.
Check this lyric out. This is one of the
worst
lyrics.
Go on, I'm ready. Go on.
He flies through the air with the greatest of ease, that daring young man in the blue dungarees. What the hell does that mean?
Oh,
is that supposed to be profound?
Oh, she flies like a bird in the sky high, that ugly old tart with a sty in her eye.
This is quite a nice one. This is clever. This is bloody clever.
Go on, what they done? What's Fruit Bat done here?
We club together with all the diamonds.
Hey, hold on, I'll stop you there. Club?
Go on.
Diamond.
If we club together with all the diamonds we've saved, we could look to our hearts and say,
hold on, hearts is a suit in
this. Incredible.
Oh, go on. Clubs, diamonds, hearts.
We could look to all our hearts and say, we've got it in spades.
What does that mean?
Spades.
Hold on, what does that sentence mean?
If we club together with all the diamonds we've saved, we can look to our hearts and say, we've got it in spades.
I don't know what that means.
I've no idea, but that's the kind of brilliance.
So they, see what they did there? They got all those things.
It's incredible. Let me just, there's a good great one here.
Could they do it with signs of the zodiac? Parts of the body.
Here we are. I've been GBH'd and ABH'd for a packet of B&H. I've been taken and I've been driven away. My telephone is always ringing and my number is XXX directory. Call 0898-333-TALK-DIRTY to me. That is some of the worst lyrics, Gervais, surely, that you've ever heard.
Unless you know different. 0171-580-2000. I've been thinking some of my own as well.
The worst lyrics you've ever come across.
Oh, there's going to be arguments.
0171-580-2000. Or you can fax us 0171-580-1234.
And think realistically, because I hate it when you see, like, the Melody Maker Enemy and they ask one of these pop stars, what's the worst song of all time? And they go, the Birdie song.
Or, no, it's not. It's something by Carter or Suede or David Bowie, because they're in that framework. They're the potential, you know, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Don't go for, chirpy, chirpy, cheap, cheap. Go for something like that, because that is disgusting.
Let me just tell you, this is my final one, before we go away, which is, yes, sorry, boy, there's nothing worth living for, but it really ain't worth dying for, so just say three Hail Jesus and Mary chains.
Early in the morning, I put breakfast at your table. Make sure that your coffee has its sugar and cream. Your eggs are over easy.
It's sort of like a breakfast song. I can't remember this.
But it goes, I'm not your superwoman. Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
It's just, I've never heard this.
There's one great bit as well. He goes, now you say your juice is sour. It used to be so sweet. And I can't help but wondering if you're talking about me.
Isn't that great?
Oh. Sorry, look, this juice is a bit sour. It used to be so sweet. Oh, fine, I'll change it. No, 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 let me explain. This juice, yeah, it's sour. It used to be sweet. Well, it's what we've always had. No, 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 you're not listening. You're not listening. I think you're an ugly pig. I want to leave you. So I mean, like, you know, he didn't state it. Your eggs are over easy. Oh, who's that by?
No, I didn't ever heard it. You've made it up.
I'm not your superwoman. Doom, doom. 0171-580-2000. I just thought of another one as well. So, do you remember John Waite? I ain't missing you at all. Missing you since you've been gone away. And he's worried about people that think that he's really not missing her. So, towards the end, he goes, I can lie to myself. Oh, he was lying all along then, wasn't he? Oh, got any more Carter lyrics?
Well, I'm still wading through them, Gervais, and it's just making me quite low. So, I'll try and dig out a few more for the next time we have a chat. But I would say that Emma, of course, who helps us out here, she's mentioned, track. What was it, Emma? What was yours?
It was,
YMCA.
YMCA. I've got a worse one.
Have you? Oh, hold on. Oh, what's that one? Another one?
That's worse.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, Emma, we'll save that one. Emma's was, you can get yourself clean, you can have a good meal.
You can get yourself clean, you have a good meal. Well, I don't have a problem with it, you see, because I just think it's a wonderful thing. You know, the YMCA doesn't get enough publicity, good press.
Yeah.
And the Village People did them a favour. I mean, why on earth they wrote that song?
Well,
you know,
what,
to,
are
to
you serious?
Publicise the YMCA. I mean, who thinks, I don't know, oh, people have done the police force, you know, they've done...
Hold on, wait a minute, this is very good, but I think you mean this, so you don't know what that song is, you think that they were actually some sort of advertising for the YMCA, were you?
Well, I don't know, it just seems really odd to me.
Well, if I remember at the time, the YMCA complained at the time because the connotations.
What kind of, it's just a PR thing for the YMCA, I imagine. It's like that one that in the Navy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Another sort of PR thing for the Navy. It's just bizarre.
When they were dressed up as sailors and stuff.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Whereas usually they sort of like construction worker with a nice moustache, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Traffic cop.
Yeah.
Jumpers. And,
what? I don't, it's just...
I'm worried about the red Indian chief.
Am I supposed to be
reading?
Supposed to be reading between the lines or something? I don't understand. I mean, I don't really understand. I mean this seriously.
Okay,
I don't
right.
understand what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, this is fine. What is it? Obviously, there were gay connotations. It's like a gay icon record, isn't it? YMCA. In the Navy. That was the point of it. What did you need? One of them dressed as Judy Garland. What, I don't understand. What was your problem with that?
What? But there's another, I don't understand why that suggests that people are gay. I don't.
It doesn't necessarily. It's like, it's high camp, isn't it? It's been adopted since as well.
But the four of them, there's a guy dressed as a motorcycle cop. There's no reason why that he should be gay.
There's no reason why anyone should be gay.
There's a builder.
Yeah.
Right.
So no builders are gay ever.
There's another one. I can't remember what the other one is.
Right.
And then there's a Red Indian. Why on earth the Red Indian is supposed to be an icon?
I don't know about that. I'm flummoxed on that one, I'll be honest.
But so what I'm saying to you, Gervais, is if you're going to use if you can talk about gay people, then why don't they use the cliches? Why isn't there a hairdresser?
Right.
And
because it's probably the sort of cliches that even seen gays want to get away from. Also, that's you're confusing camp. ITV gays with real homosexual people who live normal lives.
If I'm going to write a song about gay people, I'm going to have a hairdresser.
Yeah, you are.
In order to appeal to a gay community, I'd have a hairdresser, John Inman, Larry Grayson.
Obviously.
And, I don't know,
Well, you wouldn't have Jason Donovan then, obviously. Because he's not. So you wouldn't have him, would you?
No, I wouldn't have Jason Donovan. No. Well, I wouldn't have Philip Schofield. I wouldn't have Andy Peters.
Right.
I wouldn't have Andy Peters.
Okay, I'm getting scared.
I would not have Andy Peters.
A few more, Carter lyrics for you.
Go on.
You'll enjoy this one. It's just one big knees up, a night on the town, a storm in a teacup, more like a teacup in a storm.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean, man?
Yeah.
It's more like a teacup in a storm.
Yeah, they've twisted it, haven't
they? Right.
Yeah. Ian Canfield, you know, he's 12 now. Right. He does the rock show.
Oh.
He called and, that, I'm not your superwoman, was, Karen White. And he also says a worst lyric in that YMCA is, young man, there's no need to feel down.
Fair enough. Another Carter lyric for you. The tequila sun is rising, and listen to me. The tequila sun is rising, and the Harvey's Bristol moon is shining. Because they've got Harvey's, you know, shine on Harvey's moon.
Yeah.
And somehow Harvey's Bristol moon is shining. I have no idea.
It's got to be something about pulling your trousers down in a coach.
It's just rubbish.
And so, also, Quick Space, I played that and you said, oh, why is that your favourite?
Mm.
And I got annoyed because you've got no taste and shouldn't even question me. And I said it was about you being an ugly tosser. Well, Nina, from the band, who's around at Jan's, said, no, it's not about him being ugly. And the worst lyric is from the Beatles. You should see her in drag in a polythene bag. What's that from then?
I don't know, polythene Pam or whatever it's called.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could well be.
All right, then the worst Beatles lyrics. We'll have those as well.
There's a lot of them to choose from.
There are a lot.
They're good. No, I'm not dissing the Beatles.
No.
I'm just saying they wrote, so, you know, they can't keep up that level, can they?
Gervais, I've heard the songs you've written. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You're not in a position to disrespect anybody.
No, I don't.
I'm talking about people on the tube, alright, that can barely speak, alright, that just go with like a kazoo. There's a guy near my tube, he's just got a kazoo, and just taps his foot, and then tries to sell lighters to you by playing a kazoo. Right? You can't even disrespect him for his musical ability.
Of course, you're laughing about him now. If that was female, it'd be a whole different story, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, you've got to take it where you can get it.
You'd have a lot of lighters every day, wouldn't
hey!
You? You'd be struggling down that road with loads of little clippers.
I'd say, you know, I think there's a sad lack of kazoos on the wireless, and I'd have her in here for a quick session.
Well, we better do a competition now.
Okay, yeah, well, we've got these two, is it two pairs of pulp tickets?
Or so just no idea, have you?
I've no idea.
You just want to, we've got them, oh, can I do this bit? You don't know what you're doing, do you? It's never stopped me, no.
Well,
exactly.
I wasn't going to mention it.
No.
All right, you do it. Go on then. I'll sit over here. I'm out of the way.
Okay, how many tickets have we got, Emma?
One pair.
One pair. That's two to you, Steve. To give away.
To see who?
Pulp.
When?
Next Saturday.
Where?
Finsbury Park.
At what time?
About 9.
And what have people got to do to win tickets? Yeah, now you're stumped.
What? You suggesting I should plan this show?
Yes!
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Why?
Alright, now listen, I think we should just give people an added reason to phone in with their worst lyrics ever.
Yeah.
They can win, this pair of pulp tickets.
Yeah.
And then if we get bored with that in, say, about 10 minutes time, we'll come up with another reason.
As if it'd take 10 minutes for us to get bored. I'll be surprised if we actually bother.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Got an ad break and then, at least I've got a pulp song lined up.
Before you do that.
Oh, we should tell them what the competition is, shouldn't we?
I just did.
What was it? I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening. I really do turn off when you talk.
Emma, what was the competition?
I'm not sure. I wasn't listening.
01715 at 02000. Any idea what the competition was?
What was the competition?
Yeah.